Hey everybody, Matt Michaels, Sin City Steve, and Rob Bussolari here on the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. DJ Impact is on his final leg of his Canadian tour. I believe he was one of the ladders in Money in the Bank's ladder matches, if you look closely. Mm-hmm. He was the ladder with the fuzzy slippers. So, watch that. Chelsea Green took a big bump onto him.
Well, then.
Gonna have to call Matt Cardona.
What do you want to call him? Woo woo. So, big shit going on in wrestling right now. With a Money in the Bank in Toronto and that Canadian crowd base. Boy, man, you. Listen, them going to these foreign countries, wow, fan bases are amazing.
Yeah.
Steve, you know, my favorite part was when the hometown hero Edge won the Raw Championship from Damian Priest and ended the Judgment Day story. So, alternate universe wrestling here happening.
Gotta love it.
Another AEW snipe, I feel.
Yep.
It was an AEW snap of the leg and the femur because he's an idiot.
Yep.
Fucking idiot.
And then obviously you did have, you know, certain other things happen in Toronto involving an ex-AEW person, so I'm sure we'll talk about that as well.
Well, let's talk about the first men's Money in the Bank ladder match. What do we think about Mr. McIntyre? You know my feelings about Drew McIntyre, and I hate CM Punk, you know, as a person. So for what he's been doing to Drew McIntyre, I'm kind of liking the guy right now.
What was the original reason for this? They just wrote in that the two hated each other?
Because they legitimately hate each other.
Yeah.
Punk fucked him over and messed with him and shit while Drew was the young upstart who was the chosen one, and left Drew with a bad taste in his mouth. And now when he came back, he was, you know, one of two guys who weren't very happy, and they're working both Seth and Drew into this fucking storyline very remarkably. So it's amazing how fucking audience pops for Punk. Because, you know, he comes out of nowhere. That fucking audience went crazy. Punk is absolutely, yeah.
For the amount of times that Fragile Phil gets injured, he always has support.
Yeah, absolutely. He's never going to fucking lose that support. The fans love him. But one of the, you know, love him or hate him as a person, the one thing that the guy does is he fucking knows how to play. And when he fucking took that title, hit him, and then just sat on that table with that title next to him and that fucking smug shit-eating grin on his face, it was like watching someone just, I don't know, punch Jack Perry in the face. It was great.
I tell you, man, it's I know that we discussed it last week on the show, even talking about, you know, having guys from, you know, WWE go back to TNA. I mean, this shit is playing out exactly as we discussed it. So, I can only imagine what's going to happen next. But Fragile Phil's got to get in the ring again, and we all know how things go when he gets in the ring against somebody that, you know, exceeds his physicality. Doesn't exactly end up very well for him. So
CM Punk is like Matt Michaels' webcam. You don't know when it's going to give out on you, but it's always going to be amusing when it does.
And strangely enough, it always has a habit of breaking.
Yeah. Because right now it looks like you're broadcasting from Mars. Your signal's getting.
Yeah.
But.
Yep.
Yeah. As far as the CM Punk Drew McIntyre thing, I I'm interested to see how they're going to weave this stuff around, because of course that's going to be your SummerSlam match. Are they just going to have a standard singles match, or are they going to find some way to shoehorn in the championship into this?
I can't see that.
You could have Damian Priest versus CM Punk versus Drew. I hope they don't do that, but it wouldn't necessarily surprise me.
Well, I thought it was going to be Damian Priest versus Gunther.
I genuinely hope that's the path that they go.
Unless the title changes before SummerSlam. Because Gunther has that match. Remember, it's SummerSlam. They built up a Gunther video tonight. And then that's the advertised match as of right now. So
okay, good.
The Ring General, Years of Destruction, showing his highlight reels from NXT, and really also the evolution of his body development from this really heavyset wrestler to brick shithouse. Well deserved. And you know what? He's one of those heels that I like. He's not over the top obnoxious. He owns his presence in the ring. He does not have to pace a team of guys to beat the shit out of somebody. He just does it on his own. And you don't see that a lot these days.
Yeah.
You don't see that.
He definitely casts a shadow in the best phrasing possible. He has a presence, and there aren't many people in pro wrestling that have a presence and that can cast a shadow like Gunther can.
And do you know, have you ever heard his live interviews? He's incredibly humble. He realizes he's aware like this could go just as quickly. He's very, very humble. And when he's interviewed, he doesn't stick to the kayfabe. He just goes, yes, thank you. Thank you for acknowledging my accomplishments. It hasn't been easy. I love the guy in and out of the ring. That being said, you give him the belt. He's a guy you could give him the belt and he'll do something with it for a season.
Yes.
If I give the belt to Damian Priest, great. Now I have to go through the storyline of the other Judgment Day members, especially, one Prince Devitt or whatever, we're being a little bit bitchy and mopey about it. Oh, Brian, you've changed. But he's the same guy every week. It's the same freaking guy every damn week. I always say Prince Devitt. I don't know why the hell I can't ever remember. I can't remember Balor. I don't know why that name never sticks in my head. But yeah, Finn Balor is angry, and it's obvious he doesn't have the belt. He's upset that he hasn't had his own, individual title in a while. He's always been playing second banana since he's been the Judgment Day. And that's going to be the easy storyline. Rhea Ripley will basically go at odds with the rest of the group. And then I don't know what you do with Carlito there, because he's not officially in the group. He was kind of another one of these. Did they ever formally say you're in Judgment Day?
Yeah, he's essentially in Judgment Day, but you're also about to see some kind of split.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you have Liv and you have Rhea, and you could see that Damian is on Rhea's side. And most likely, you'll probably have Carlito on Damian's side.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Finn and what's his nuts on McDonough on Liv's side.
McDonough. Yeah.
And that puts Dom right in the fucking middle of everything. It's fucking brilliant. Rhea is back.
Yeah.
Rhea is back, Steve.
Oh.
Yes. At a point when Dom was, chubbing up for Liv Morgan, finally.
Yeah.
Finally.
And he's about to bust Sloppener, and then you hear, this is my brutality.
Nice.
And then he drops a load in his pants, and his skin. The funny thing is the acting on him. The blood drains out of him. You actually see, it looks like he's about to piss himself. And that is the best. Oh, wait a minute. They're actually getting into it now. Wait a minute. And you're like,
well done. Well done.
Rodney, what's going on, guy? Great Great Monday Night Raw, great Money in the Bank. The Canadian crowds came out and showed out. And we're talking about the eventual split of the Judgment Day. Yeah, he should have worn brown. Yeah, because that was the grace. But I also liked what we saw tonight with the return of the forming of a new women's trio.
Yep. So Steve, Sonya Deville has now aligned herself with Zoe and Shayna.
Haven't they been like alluding to that for a while though? Okay.
But they beat the shit out of Damage Control. Damage Control has a 6-week tag against Liar Valkyria and the two chicks with flamethrowers, or excuse me, fire extinguishers, who whatever. They're completely unimportant. They were cannon fodder. And Judge and you know, Damage Control wins, and then they get the shit kicked out of them by this new women's trio. That's so going to put the women's locker room on notice. This division's going on notice.
I was going to say, so I'm guessing that that's going to be the SummerSlam trios match then. Like, I'm guessing.
Or the tag team title match.
Okay.
Because it looks like Zoe and Shayna will be going against Alba and whatever the other crazy hot Irish chick is, or Zealand chick.
Oh, Isla Dawn.
Yeah. So, here's another dynamic Rodney brought up. Seth should be more pissed at Punk than McIntyre. Yeah. I think we're going to be seeing it at some point. You know, this whole dynamic's going to be interesting on how it's playing out. Seth had a promo against Punk to kick off the show that was pretty damn good. Again, all this stuff, it's interesting because we said the same thing after the last pay-per-view. All this stuff that's happening the Monday after the pay-per-views now are big reveals, big storylines, shit happening. It's not just continuation shit, which
good
is moving stuff forward in the best light. So but now that's now one of the best things that they can do.
Are we going to see Hikuleo on Friday?
I mean, if they're going to, you know, capitalize on the big momentum. Numbers that they'd usually get and the momentum, then I mean, it would make sense if they had the reveal take place on TV.
Jacob Fatu looked like an absolute monster in the ring. I love how they made reference to Bullet Club and Guerrillas of Destiny. So they gave a nod to anybody who was watching them on New Japan Pro Wrestling. Tongaloa is just kind of sitting off in the back with a suit, having a spot here or two, annoyed me a little bit. I almost would have had him in ring gear, just have him in the background at least. I don't know. I mean, it's not that important, but they're giving him a gingerly schedule.
They probably didn't want to give, you know, entrust him with a major spot right away after, you know, the missed low blow at Money in the Bank.
Hmm.
I don't know. Obviously, that was something that kind of stood out was, oh, shit. He gets this giant low spot, and then he fucks it up.
Hold on. Steve.
Yes.
I'm going to turn my camera off, and now you can recreate the Joe Biden, Donald Trump debate, because Matt Michaels is completely frozen. So I'll teach you some Trump. You just got to go like this and go, it's the best it's ever been. It's the best it's ever been. It's never, ever, ever anyone has seen anything this good. And then Matt can just play Biden right there. There you go. Huh?
I mean, that's pretty true to life, though.
Yeah, and
nonetheless.
He just needs a little wisp of hair, just a few strands, and that's it. Yeah, that's not political, by the way. We're doing theater. This is theater.
Hey, just making an oversight a point, you know. But yeah, I'm really interested to see what they do as they progress towards SummerSlam with both factions of the Bloodline. you know, the way that that main event went down at Money in the Bank, to be honest with you, it felt like a bit of a wet fart to me, man. Honestly, so you have Cody eat the pin. That's fine. But was there anything realistically, was there anything else that came out of that match? And
this was my problem with that match.
Yeah.
It was this, I don't want to call it a squash match, but it did what it needed to do and make them look good, but it did not raise the bar.
Right.
We had a 4-vs-3. This reminded me of when a long time ago, if I'm not mistaken, it was the Shield versus Randy Orton, Kevin Owens, and I can't remember who the third partner was, and the Shield ran right through them. It might have been Sheamus, perhaps.
That would make sense.
And the Shield ran right through them, and you go, great, the Shield looks great. They look unbeatable. I wanted Hikuleo to come out then. And I don't know whether Tama Tonga, Tonga Loa, Tonga Tall, who the hell knows what I forgot what they're going to call
it. Tala Tonga.
Tala Tonga, what the fuck? It's like fucking names of palm trees. And I like him. I think it's going to be good, but I would have liked to have seen him come out then. And that would have taken the match and went, shot it through the roof. Otherwise, yeah. It was what you expected was we got to put these guys over. We got to make them look big and scary. And if Cody eats one, he's still got enough shine on him. It's not going to hurt any much. And it'll give him some time to have a credible opponent because they need to give him a SummerSlam opponent.
They need to do a lot to give Solo some credibility as they head towards SummerSlam. I mean, the dude they haven't booked him well at all, to be honest with you, in terms of – I know win-loss doesn't really matter, but but at the end of the day – the dude has won two matches in 2024.
Right. But what did he just do? He just pinned Cody Rhodes.
Right.
What did Roman not be? What could Roman not do at WrestleMania?
Pin Cody Rhodes. And that's going to be the bullet points of the argument on Friday.
Right.
What you missed Steve say was he felt that the match was a wet fart, that it didn't contribute at all. I think it did what it needed to do, which was push this new version.
Are you fucking kidding? That was fucking crazy, dude. That match was insane.
I ultimately, man, I just felt that I was looking for something at the end of it. I was looking for something to happen at the end of that match, and I didn't get it. So,
and I wanted to see Tama Talladega Nights show up and do something insane. And we didn't get that, so I'm hoping then that means Friday.
Yeah.
With a faction that big, it's what I called a while ago. They needed to have an NWO level numbers faction. And now, you know, you guys saying I was being masturbatory about this, but they're bringing the two Tonga Loan females over from NJPW, and they're going to be a part of that faction. So you've got to take Naomi. And
have they announced that?
They got a contract apparently.
No, they teased it on Twitter.
Okay. They just threw
something out on Twitter, which
we
don't know if that's for sure. It hasn't.
Well, dude, it's on the internet. It's got to be true.
Yeah.
Right. And they're the ones who said it. So, of course.
Now I'm saying it.
Even better.
I'm saying it now.
Source, trust me, bro.
He said it. It was on the internet. They said it was tremendous. And now that I've said it, it's true. But that's the thing. So if they do go that route and they make this big mega faction, which can overtake SmackDown, I would like to see them go retro, like back in the late 90s, where they would go WCW versus NWO presents, you know, Halloween Havoc, something to that effect.
So you want to bring the NWO back?
I want the bloodline to be that level. I want the new bloodline versus WWE. I think I would really like that. And yes, they could claim that they're bigger than the company. It all depends on how they do it, because at the end of the day, you're going to have to get The Rock involved now.
Right.
And you're going to have to get Roman Reigns. So if you did that group right there and then add Roman Reigns, The Rock, and the Usos, there's your other faction. Old versus new bloodline. Paul Heyman shows up. represents them. I don't know how they square that off with how Roman Reigns kind of left with the Usos, but they could do it. They could easily do it. And then, well, you know, yeah, Afa comes out there, puts a lay on him, and goes, "You're the real guy," et cetera, et cetera. Or they all form together, have one big mega clusterfuck group, have Roman versus Solo Sikoa. Whoever wins, wins the family. And then Rock shows up and goes, "Let's be real, guys. I'm signing your checks. So I run the family. I run the whole damn thing. And now we just run through the WWE. And we just sweep through each show at will." That would be fucking insane for a year or two.
Steve, come on. Zayn over Braun? They just are starting to build up. You'll see tonight when you watch Raw, it's not over, man. And okay, that's what got us Dragunov versus Braun. It's actually, this is the smart chase. This is pretty fucking good.
So it's getting me to like Ilya Dragunov too, because he is insane in the ring. I thought some of his move sets were kind of lame, but his energy in executing them is what excites me. He looks like a freaking running anime of, you know, when exactly, there's the lions coming in, he's just in steroid level. I like that. I like that. Lyra Valkyria, I like it. I just feel that they're using her to put other people over. I hope she's not being used as enhancement talent because she's really good and likable.
But the problem is you can't have all these people going over at the same time. That's the
problem. Exactly. But this was my thing when they had...
There's 90 talented women for once in wrestling that you literally could make your own fucking show with just the women. That's how fucking talented this roster is.
I think I'll call it Shimmer. Oh, no. Women of Wrestling. No. Stardom. There we go. Stardom.
Glow. There's only one woman product. Glow.
But no, they're all very freaking good. And again, any one of those women could go over to AEW and run the whole damn thing at this point, minus the ones with the flamethrower, the fucking steam cannons. Those two fucking, I don't even know their names. They're just, I just don't give a shit. It should be their tag team. That's the name of their tag team. I don't give a shit. They're boring. You know, oh, you got Blue Weave. Oh, who gives a fuck? You know, oh. Ma'am, oh, you look like power scissoring, okay? Oh, great. I don't care. They look boring, and they put Lyra Valkyria with them, and I'm like, I just don't give a shit. I almost would like to see her down the road go heel. I think she could sell it, but that's another conversation. On SmackDown side, my girl is kind of going in the background right now. I'm not getting all of the Cargill I want.
Well, I mean, there are reports that they're not exactly thrilled with her progress. So
no,
it all depends on who you want to believe on the internet. Because again,
to be honest,
it's on the internet, it's true.
And you know what? I would not be surprised because she took a few botches here and there at key points, and she could be, you know, dangerous in the ring, or for if not for somebody else, for herself. So I don't doubt that. I wonder
what people on this show said. You know, she needs to go to NXT and get a little polish before she goes to the main roster.
Did you see what she looks like with sweat rolling off her, man? And she's on SmackDown, and I want to lay the smack it down on her
She looks exactly like Jim said. When she's sweating in the ring, she looks green.
Yeah. Well,
she's like Kermit the Frog's fucking vagina, okay?
Oh, Jesus.
Wouldn't that be Miss Piggy's vagina because of...
I don't know. Someone's got a green cock and it's going into pig fucking anus or vagina or whatever. Either way, both of them have hands up their assholes, okay?
We'd be talking about fucking Frussy on this show.
See how far back I am now. I'm not associated.
Yeah, you're the one that took us to this location. You're the reason why we're here talking about this bullshit.
I didn't talk about green vagina.
In a way,
talk about it all the time with mentioning Cardgill.
Yeah. Rodney goes ham at the bus stop on speaker. Well, guys, on the bus, hey, this is Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting, and we're discussing Jade Cargill's green vagina.
Or Kermit and Miss Piggy fucking.
Whichever
with one. Two hands up their assholes. Double fisting. That's right.
Oh, Jesus. My God. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Two fist pumps in the air.
That's what's going on SmackDown.
Well,
no, I am interested again because they're going to be very eager to see Friday Night SmackDown and see where they go with this.
Go ahead, Steve.
Obviously, do we know it? Was it a production glitch with Money in the Bank? You know what I'm talking about too. Was it a production glitch? Like somebody didn't hit the right button? Or didn't hit the button to start someone's music.
Oh shit! I think I know what you're referring to.
For the non-kicked out three count. Obviously, I don't believe that was Damian Priest. I believe that he got the instruction to not kick out. I saw some things saying that it was actually a production glitch that kind of screwed everything up, which is unfortunate because, of course, you know, that entire match was overshadowed because of, you know, Damian Priest not kicking out for the three count, the referee stopping his count, which never happens in WWE. And in fact, is something that has happened. And we've all called out over on the other show, you know, when people don't kick out of three counts. But again, it's something that has to be mentioned. We have to at least discuss it. Because if not, then there's that journalistic integrity.
I know. Refresh my memory on that incident again. Because
Seth Rollins dropped Damian Priest. Damian Priest didn't kick out. One, two, and the ref stops his count. And then moments later, fucking Drew McIntyre decides to come down.
Oh, right. So
only the biggest thing realistically to happen up until that cash in that match. So I it's not often that we see production gaffes with WWE, but the thing is too, that kind of stood out for me with Money in the Bank. I don't know if it was just me, but I watched the show. I didn't fast forward through or anything like that. Cause I was watching it live. It felt like a 4-hour pay-per-view and there was less than 90 minutes worth of wrestling. Like, it just felt like it took forever to get through that show. There was too
much mention of tertiary stuff. I don't give a shit that they're going to be signing autographs at Jacob Javits, and it doesn't need to be a five-minute segue. The segues are getting too long. I don't care about Weekly Vodka, which is what they did at the other pay-per-view. I don't remember if that was at WrestleMania, where they did a whole fucking, you know, song tribute to this shitty vodka. I don't give a crap about Prime Energy. It doesn't need to be on the ring mat. That stuff is the same crappy energy stuff. And that's all fine and good that they're doing it more like any regular sport would, but they're giving long segues. Now, Rodney says WWE is falling off, botches, production mistakes. You know what? Whether or not it would have happened under McMahon or not, I think the thing was that they did get rid of about half the staff members in production. And replaced them with the guys from, you know, Ultimate Fighting from the, you know.
Yeah.
So you're gonna have that. But the other thing is you're still doing a match. So, you know, Seth should still be getting instruction from the referee. Okay, they're gonna whisper. You do a lockup. Let's say the mic is, you know, the opponent. You do a lockup. You got to figure out when you're going to, you know, whisper something to your opponent. Or as they would say in your partner, because that's your partner in the ring, when am I, when are we going to do a break? Okay, we're going to have a three count here. Okay, we're going to do a, you know, a shooting star press here. Something to that effect. So the fact that this guy with his earpiece, I don't know if the ref didn't get the information timely in his earpiece as to, you know, what's going on, because half the time the ref's calling the match. So, I mean, wrong. So if they, if they're, if there's a lot more than just the music, it's a lot more than just the music. Also, they could have played an audible. They could have played like when at the time that Shane had that hamstring, and then they had to have Snoop come in there. They, that was an audible. Yeah. And so you could do that, and you could have Drew McIntyre come in quietly. He doesn't need his music.
Right. Exactly.
He could have came in behind the announcers.
I think that that's something that, you know, it's a, both a blessing and a curse. WWE has conditioned fans to pop for that, that entrance music. So it's almost like, oh, well, why would anybody run down to the ring without their entrance music? We got to get that pop. But I think that, you know, in certain instances, like a Money in the Bank, you kind of have to read it. Sometimes it's good for them to come out there with their entrance music. Sometimes I like that idea, you know, just have him kind of slide in, given the fact of the character that they're trying to have him portray as. But yeah, Jim mentioned Jim mentioned that you could see his eyes were glazed over when he got the knee to the head. So I think that, you know, that that could play in. But yeah, I think that it was just not a good sequence, but I do have to give Triple H props for covering for Damian Priest and putting him over in the post-show press conference. He defended Priest until the end. So any kind of heat that, you know, was on him or whatever, Triple H did the best to deflect that away from him. So props on that for sure.
I will say real quick, though, that whole moment was more the Drew McIntyre moment. I completely forgot about it because I was immediately like, oh, yeah, oh, that. Yeah, but Drew McIntyre showed up, cashed in, and got screwed over. And that was really what the whole thing was about. It overshadowed that botch, if you want to call it. And I know a lot about botches.
Yeah, it's right. I mean,
it's in your fucking name.
Yeah. Botch comedy. That's definitely.
Just like your camera, Michaels. Your camera, your internet connection, just botch after botch after
Who's
botch.
Who's your service provider?
Nonetheless.
Jesus.
Oh, man.
Now, if you say Cox, I'm going to ask you, what year did they connect your internet? I feel like this, like a movie, like we're in the year 2024. It's like 2019. And the information is taking a while to get the mat. He's going to brush his teeth today.
I'm having issues with my cox, okay?
So is there? Are you experiencing dysfunction?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. It my cox it doesn't have the same speed it used to.
Right.
You know, it takes longer to, you know, deliver.
Yeah. So it's a little laggy.
Yeah, no, it's totally lagging, and you know, it just I don't know, man.
His connection is spotty.
Additional
6 months.
I honestly might have a virus.
Yep, there's that.
Might have a virus in the old cox.
Hey, man. Happens to the best of us.
Yeah, I know, Steve. I'm
he's the best of us.
Something like that.
What happens in Vegas doesn't stay in Vegas, as Sin City found out. He took it back to Ohio with him, which is now a penicillinville. So
Absolutely not accurate, but nonetheless.
So Rodney, this is what you can tell the people on the bus. We were previously talking about green vagina, pigs, and frogs, and now we're talking about cox viruses that is highly transmissible and causes a lot of cox dysfunction.
Exactly.
Oh, and by the way, SmackDown, because we were smacking down green vagina, and then we had a cox dysfunction because of spotty coverage.
That's right. Speaking of spotty coverage, Steve, what's happening in AEW?
Hey, well played. Well fucking played. You know, I know that it's been said by even me on this show numerous times, but MJF proved this week exactly why he's just on another level. He, of course, turned heel on Daniel Garcia. Who didn't see that shit coming after Garcia lost to Ospreay on Dynamite? Yeah, he kicked Danny right in the fucking nuts, bludgeoned him with the Dynamite diamond ring. And the thing is, that was one thing. But props to AEW, because how did they kick off Collision? With a video package talking about and showing footage from what just happened on Dynamite. Holy shit, episodic storytelling. It's only 5 years into this fucking shit, and they're finally starting to get it.
Well, no, they started off doing stuff like that. Then they forgot because they were like, oh, we have to focus on all these new shows. We don't have time.
Yeah, I guess.
To do a package, man, from the week before.
I guess. But so MJF, you know, came out, cut the promo to kick off Collision. And it looks like we are not going to be getting MJF versus Daniel Garcia at All In. Thank God. We will be getting Will Ospreay versus MJF at All In. Much better match. And that right off the bat is going to be your number two singles match on that show. Probably your overall number two match.
Who would you have win that?
Honestly, I would have MJF take the international title from him.
And no other question. Because Ospreay opted out of the Don Callis family, and as of right now, it was on good terms. Don Callis doesn't let that shit sit. Would you have MJF involve himself in the Don Callis family at some capacity?
Dude, the Don Callis family has not produced anything positive for anybody that's been unfortunate to be a part of it.
Correct. So,
like Hobbs?
Stop.
Is Hobbs still a part of, like, wrestling?
He is. He is, but he's fucking injured. He fucked up his knee in that singles match with Moxley. Okay. Like he fucked it up bad. Like I think he tore his meniscus. Just a bad.
How better is, like, are we talking break. About Paul White bad, where it looks like he's walking on two boomerangs?
No. He'll be back. It's just a matter of time. But dude,
and
like,
in the best shape
that
of his
guy
career.
Can't catch a fucking break. That guy cannot catch a fucking break.
Well, no, you know who can't catch a break ever and always disappoints is Pac. He's injured every other year.
Went out and had a hell of a match with Danielson, though, on Dynamite. I know, obviously, you know, match quality, blah, blah, blah. But it was a very, very solid match. And, you know, they made mention of the last time that they crossed paths was during their time elsewhere. So obviously referencing WWE without referencing WWE. So yeah, very solid match. Of course, Danielson picked up the win, but yeah, a hell of a match. The Owen Hart tournament actually has brought out the best in as far as working for everyone involved, exactly like what we had hoped it would. Even Jeff Jarrett came off looking like as if he's had on his working boots. And that's not meant as a slight on Jeff Jarrett by any means.
That promo they cut with him being, dude, one of the last guys to see Owen Hart,
yes,
was a tear.
Absolutely.
Jerker.
That
and
was
he
fucking
didn't
great.
Come out as a clown. He came out seriously to the point where either Sanjay Dutt was like serious, yeah, for a change.
Yeah.
Promo of all of the of that entire crew getting behind him was good.
Absolutely.
They're starting to use their Ring of Honor or indie talent, if you want to say it as such, really well, and they're putting a lot of energy behind them boys. We're getting to see a lot from the Ring of Honor champion. The only problem is that all those Ring of Honor title holders, is they're not doing anything in Ring of Honor, and they're just sitting there on Dynamite holding belts. The Kingdom, those two guys have Ring of Honor tag team titles. It's just there for them to have something. I can go to the freaking
That's table. Absolutely what it is.
You know, let me go to the table at the side while people are signing autographs and taking a piss and buy some Ring of Honor belts and wear them and throw them around and not do anything. Mike Bennett is a decent wrestler, and so is Matt Taven. They should be doing something in the ring besides sitting there. And if you're going to have them, then get the fucking Maria Kanellis out of Ring of Honor. Have her in some half-naked outfit because fucking A, I don't want to see her in mom clothes trying to train these other women. She's really not an in-ring performer. She did, but she's really a valet, and she's a good valet. So make her a fucking valet, especially if you're going to have Karen Jarrett run around.
Just go look at the Playboy. Rob, just go look at the Playboy. You'll be fine. Stop the anger.
Not anger. What I'm saying is,
I don't think he's looked at the Playboy in quite some time. I mean, he is quite angry right now.
Unlike your internet connection that's locked in 2010 when Playboy was still used. No, she's underutilized and she's part of the Kingdom. She's always rolled with Taven and Bennett, and been that voice. With Roderick Strong being there, and his gimmick is he screams. And now we have Britt Baker back, but we still don't have Adam Cole, baby. So you have an entire faction, and there's no Adam Cole, baby.
Exactly.
You just have three guys wearing and also, once again, we're going to do it. Where's the love for War Dog, who's supposed to be part of that group? He doesn't even show up when they're just sitting on the sideline. So, you know, there's a that's the one part. That one whole faction is shit. What I am looking forward to is the PDarchy versus the Bang Bang Gang with that freaking pedo Christian Cage. Because finally they're going to do something with that. I really do wish they would just, at this point, get the mask off of Killswitch and just have him be a regular person instead of a dinosaur called Killswitch. It's a non sequitur at this point. Ten decided to take his mask off and join those Gobernales in faction in Gobernales, he was Preston Vance again. He wasn't a guy wearing a freaking rubber mask.
How did that go for him?
But if you're going to be a loser, go all out being a loser. Let's at least let them see your face being a loser.
Yeah, at least he had Brody's kid behind him. When he took off the mask, Brody's kid didn't even want anything to do with him.
Right?
Jesus.
Negative One's actually growing up. He's trying to get
Speaking of Negative One, someone that was basically his size was actually on AEW programming this week in a match. Fucking Marco Stunt. They dug him up out of nowhere and put him in a match against Jack Perry.
Well, if you show up with cocaine in your fucking back pocket, Tony's going to put you on the show.
Excuse me, Mr. Khan. What, kid? I got rid of you 2 years ago. I've got a sandwich baggie.
I got sunshine in a bag.
Yeah, it's Ziploc. Look, it's the two-color one. You know it's fresh.
Jesus.
Hold on. I have breaking news right now. Marco Stunt is going to be the headliner at this year's Wembley Arena All In. The sold-out show, which still has 25,000 tickets remaining, will feature Marco Stunt versus Jade Cargill in a false count anywhere match. Okay, Shivani tells me Jade Cargill is no longer on the program, but we're going to look into maybe Red Velvet. And it's going to be Red Velvet with powdered coke in a snow globe powdered cocaine match with Marco Stunt. Marco, thank you. Back to you, Steve.
Dude. So yeah, Marco Stunt this week, that was my main what the fuck, was seeing Marco Stunt on my TV again. I thought we got rid of that guy. Now, granted, yes, they were in his hometown. Yes, he wrestled against a former tag partner of his, but thank God they kept the match to under 5 minutes. Yeah, it's And it, actually, you mentioned something just now, Rob, that was spot on that we need to talk about. Finally, the return of the doctor herself, Britt Baker. She showed back up and cut one hell of a promo.
The only thing she can do.
Well, now, here's the thing is what's crazy about it is it didn't the first part of it didn't feel like a promo. It actually felt like as if she was speaking to us, you know, as, you know, not the, the character, but actually the person. The thing that I'll say is, be that as it may, you could also tell that it wasn't a promo because it wasn't, it didn't have a great flow to it. It wasn't built like a typical wrestling promo. But then she finally hit her stride. And so that's another match that we're getting at Wembley is the DMD versus the CEO. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, you gotta, I almost think that you gotta have something happen at the end of that one. If you're going to go down the route of having somebody with Mercedes, do you introduce a Camille as her bodyguard and have her to cost Britt Baker the match? That would set up a great return for Jamie Hayter in the future as well. So that's something that you could work with. And the thing, you know,
Britt Baker is, she was the female MGF of the women.
Yep.
And she does need a crew of people around her. She makes for a very shitty face. The thing with Mercedes Moné was when she first came out, people lost their shit and were behind her. And now they dragged her entrance out and she became obnoxious overnight. And they just let it ride. So they were letting that one play. I'm going to be obnoxious. I'm going to show you clips of me at Star Wars, you know, fan shit and red carpet events. Is that going to get the people on board? No, all right, fine. I'll just keep doing it and be obnoxious and I'll be a heel.
Exactly. Thank God she finally embraced being a fucking heel.
And she doesn't look super amazing in the ring. She looks mediocre for the matches that she's had against Charlotte Flair and other, you know, notable talent. So this doesn't.
You mean the better wrestlers who carried her through matches? Yeah, you're sure. Right.
But that's fine. But that's fine. So now she doesn't have that. So it's kind of like watching her out there with no gear on.
Okay.
I'm trying to
with
say
a hand up her ass. And a green frog fucking her.
Hey, Mercedes. We're going to finish right on your face.
Jesus.
Dynamite.
Hey, Mercedes. I'm all in.
We've got the main event of Wembley is Kermit the Frog. Fucking Mercedes Moné.
Oh, hold on, you gotta do it right. You gotta do it right. You gotta clutch the mic. Okay, main event. Okay, Shivani, am I on? Am I on? Okay, main event. Wembley Arena, 99,000 sold already. Seats still available right now. AEW.com. AEWtix.com. And it's going to be a Kermit the Frog and Miss Piggy in a mixed gender match with Mercedes Moné and the producer from Star Wars. Yes, we're going to do that. And it's going to be great. It's going to be an amazing event. And you can get your ticks at shop ticks, AEW.Wembley.AllIn. This is the best show ever. Fuck you, Hunter.com. Back to you.
Wow.
So NXT had a pay-per-view on Sunday.
Yeah, no shit.
In which it got some high reviews from a lot of places in terms of just being a solid show. Not really much changing, but the main event was Roxanne Perez. And she basically went apeshit crazy and destroyed what's her face?
Lola Vice.
Yes. Well, I always forget her fucking name, Lola Vice. But she is... You know, Roxanne had, I guess, the biggest disadvantage against her was she was a baby, literally, when she started. She was like 19 when she came in. You look at her and the cute act, and you always wondered, where does this go? And then you found out she's psychotic.
They always are the cute ones.
Right.
Even better.
Isn't it not like now it's like, oh, she's kind of hot. It's kind of fucked up.
There's just that little shred of like fear in there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So he's like, if I have to, I'll do it. I'll do it right now. If I'm not the champion, someone's going to get cut and it's going to be me. I'm like, oh, okay. Take the fucking belt.
No shit. But full disclosure, I did not watch that show. But I have heard nothing but rave reviews. So much that I've actually heard people saying that NXT outshined the main roster pay-per-view the day before. So if with that being said, I am actually going to be checking out that show probably tonight after we get done being live or tomorrow, because
Wouldn't that make sense? Some really good shit happened. Wouldn't that make sense? Because for the main roster, this was an extension show. Okay, someone's going to, it really is. It's not one of the bigger pay-per-views. It served the purpose to put over the bloodline, yeah. And it serves the purpose to, all right, we're going to have somebody have the belt. This is to be the segue paper or premium live event to the big one, which is SummerSlam. So I would almost want the NXT one to outshine a lower premium live event in a sense and really explode it. Because they could have put this one on Sunday. Remember, for as long as we've been alive, all these shows were on Sunday. Yep. Now you're putting your quote unquote second string shows on Sunday, and this thing was amazing. Yep. That's by no accident. We know that whether you didn't even like the main event, but you're intrigued now to go watch this NXT product. So yeah, that could exactly. be by design where they're going, hey, look, whether it's good or whether it's bad, we know people are going to watch the main roster pay-per-view, but we really want to set this one up to make an even bigger SummerSlam. So we'll keep this one safe and we'll keep it close to the vest, and then we'll make that NXT one pop and give these guys time to action.
But you also have to give credit, and Steve Ellis, sorry about that, but you also have to give credit that your big four-way that was built as your main event, your big match for the title, Ethan Page has literally fucking walked in the door. That's the kind of guy he is, by the way. He is one of the most likable guys on the fucking planet. Yep. So the respect has been given to him right off the bat. Sean obviously likes him. Everyone who produces obviously likes him. And they've entrusted this guy with the NXT title right the fuck away. It's mind-blowing. And they did it the right way. It wasn't just a straight one-on-one pin. You had him lose already in that situation.
There was some fuckery with that finish. I have to say, that finish was pretty genius the way that they built that up. Obviously, like I said, I haven't seen the show, but I have read the results. I've seen recaps from people.
Right.
So I know the way that everything went down with that finish. The thing that I'll say is, this is a very interesting kind of way to go about doing things, because obviously, where does this leave Trick Williams? Is he going to be spiraling up, going up to the main roster? Is he going to continue to feud with the guys there in NXT? So, the good thing is that you can do a lot with all of those people in that match. Javon Evans, the internet is going fucking crazy over this guy. He's 20 years old. And, he's got literally his entire career in front of him. But he is the name that's on the tip of everyone's tongue right now. So
what Trick Williams needs is an African prince who can two-step.
Well, why not? NXT already has an AEW as, guy that
if you would have completely wiped out Ethan Page's time at AEW and ignored the Karate Man match in TNA, which was so goddamn degrading, you would have the making of a really great career. The AEW stuff was a blip in the radar where they just did not know what the hell to do with the guy.
Exactly.
They put him with Scorpio Sky, and the two of them didn't even get into the mid-card because the mid-card was higher up than where they were.
Yeah.
They put him with Top Flight or American Top Team, did nothing with them there. And it's not that he lost his persona. All ego Ethan Page has been his ongoing persona. You know, any promotion he's been with, he's been doing the thing with the grin, the dimples, and all that. But that doesn't belie the fact that he's a good talent in ring and he's good on the mic. So this is long overdue. He's a person now that I could see being a mid-card or even a champion at one point, maybe a heavyweight champion in WWE. I could picture him on a SmackDown. I would picture him and imagine him on a SmackDown. That would work.
What the fuck is... I picture him. I imagine him on a SmackDown.
I'm saying... I'm giving fucking compliments about somebody from TNA.
Just like I imagine Jade Cargill on my face. Ah.
So I went back to New York a month ago, and my brother looked at me and he goes, "That Jay Cargill, now that's something, but oh yeah, yes, yes." God. And my sister-in-law was walking right across the room, and I just went, "I only have to be here for 2 days, so that's going to be your problem." And he go, and then my brother's best friend growing up was like, "What was he talking about, your brother?" Jade Cargill. Oh, good Lord. Oh. Oh, Jade. And I was like,
Is half of you upset at you right now? Jesus.
Also, though, I do have to point out the hilarious irony of four former AEW talents currently holding gold in WWE.
Right.
I just have to fucking skewer just a little bit. Because, I mean, you know, Andrade holding that speed championship is so awesome.
That speed championship. That's the 24/7 championship. Get the fuck out of here. The matches are only 3 minutes long in bracket tournament fashion.
And then you got fucking Ethan Page now as the NXT champion. And then, of course, Cody as your world champion. So, honestly, if you think about it, this is one hell of a recruiting pitch, if nothing else. Come to WWE. We're going to give you titles within the first 2 months of you being here.
Well, the other thing is,
look at everybody that's jumped over. I'm skewering it, so obviously I'm laughing at it. I'm making fun of it.
Right.
Realistically, it is a smart strategy that they're employing.
No, I don't even know. Is Andrade really doing anything?
No. But he's doing more than he did even in AEW.
He's doing better. But I'm
also doing more now than he ever did in WWE too, though. Right. Let's be real.
Yeah, and let's look at the factor is when you have so much talent,
yep,
and only so much to put it on, what they are doing is really fucking difficult because they are weaving all this shit together. Listen. Again, Wyatt, Bo, the fucking promo tonight was off the chains. They are officially the Wyatt Six, as in S-I-C-K-S.
That's what I thought it would mean.
Yeah, so that is official. That is official. And they played the tape. Again, now Chad Gable is scared shitless and doesn't know why no one is doing anything to protect him, which is also funny. Because Gable has been targeted every time the tape has come out. That is brilliant. It's like, what is it? And if Pierce even said, "Why don't you fucking figure it out?" Essentially. And so now he's all huffy that no one's doing anything for him, and he's got to do it by himself again. And then he also hinted that at the end of this, he needs a vacation. So Chad might, be getting a break for a little bit. But he caught Pierce at the door. The video had already played. Chad saw the video, ran him down. Pierce said, you know, go fucking deal with it yourself. Pierce opens the door and you see someone sitting there rocking, and then he turns his head and looks at the door, and it's Bo waiting for Adam to talk to him.
Hell yeah.
All we get is Adam's nice reaction of like looking back a little bit, kind of surprised, slowly walking in, closing the door. This is storytelling at its fucking finest, man.
Bring it on.
Yeah, and these are all people, as they're saying, who are underutilized. And for the first time, too, in the videos, we got to see the faces under the masks in these fucking jerky, you know, shots and stuff.
Really?
It was fucking amazing.
Hell yeah.
Now, how do you debut them in a match format? Do you just do it right at SummerSlam? Do you set up a challenge? I'm asking what you think would be.
I honestly don't know.
Because this is what happened with the Wyatts, was we didn't know what to do with them in the ring, especially with, you know.
Oh, wow. Got a ring.
Go to Whataburger and you could see them without the masks.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, unfortunately, well, I guess we could go to Whataburger now.
Is there a Whataburger?
It's on the strip.
Oh, it is.
Fuck that.
Fucking spend $20 just to park the car and then spend $3 on a fucking individual cheeseburger made with the same loving care as the fucking South Goodyear Phoenix area Whataburger.
Not to mention your LET on top of it. Your local entertainment tax, all your miscellaneous fees, all that other bullshit.
LET stands for lettuce, Steve. Stop it.
Yeah, lettuce. $5.95 a shred.
Sounds about right.
Hey, man, I went to a restaurant out here and I said, I ordered the cheeseburger and it was a claim jumper. And the woman goes, yeah. There's no lettuce, there's no tomatoes, there's no onions, there's no sauces. And the woman literally said to me, that costs extra.
Damn.
Welcome to Las Vegas. That was and that place is no longer in business, thank God.
So no. You claim, did you jump her?
Oh, God.
Did my camera freeze? Can I go to a cruise? I want to, like, you know, just go on a Norwegian cruise with fucking Daryl's family, since they get to go on like a fucking cruise in his family. Like once every 2 months, they get some Viking cruise bullshit. And it seems like his company pays for it.
Listen, half of you can go with them. So, depends which half he wants. The Obama half or the Trump half, and I'm pretty sure I know which one's going with him on the trip.
Excuse me. I've got unlimited points. I've got so many points. I've got more points than you know what to do with. You've never ever. No one's ever seen points like this before. No one's ever seen points like this before.
So, that pretty much sums up the week at wrestling.
Yeah, there was a lot of frog action. We got really froggy today.
Jesus.
That's right. In honor of Mommy coming back and Dominic and...
shitting himself.
Yeah, Dominic and Liv almost getting froggy in the middle of the ring.
That was great. He finally gave in.
The backstage segments, you gotta watch the segments between Liv and him. It was... classic Trish Stratus Triple H.
Really?
Yeah, when they were setting up that thing with Stephanie, you know, kind of walking in and stuff. It was just for the moment of the two of them in the clubhouse, Priest walking in, and then fucking McDonough and Finn's heads in the doorway. And then Carlito walks in and he goes, well, that's not cool, or something like that. It was fucking phenomenal.
Where's his apple? Why isn't he walking around that fucking room with the apple in his mouth?
Because Kermit used it for the pig to shut her up and gag her while he was fucking her. So, Steve, on that note, why don't you tell us about everything we should know about the fine people of
the United States? All right, guys. Thank you for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, general energy needs. Repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout and save yourself 15%.
Speaking of PP, go ahead, Rob. Tell us where you're performing this week.
This week, I actually had a gig tonight, but the production staff at the comedy show bailed. So probably see me tomorrow at Wise Guys and Town Square, performing there, doing my Trump thing. And then scattered shows across the week. There's some stuff coming up in about a couple of weeks to know. Have dates. I want to say thanks to Rodney and Jim for tuning in with us today and sharing in the laughs. And thank you guys every week for joining in the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. We should be in on Sunday this week with a returning Daryl, who is going to tell us about the nearest cruise.
Yeah, DJ will be with you guys. I am not going to be there because once Daryl comes back from his vacation, I get to take my 5-week break. So,
so are you going to just be like sitting in an inner tube down the Mesquite River?
No, I'm literally going to go swimming in Lake Mead, and
is that just water?
Yeah, well, basically, it's just standing in the reserve. Mud. Yeah, exactly. Digging up the dead bodies.
Exactly. So, I was going to say, you'll be in there with about 10 corpses per fucking square mile.
As long as the corpses are, fresh.
We get to play the Las Vegas game all families love, cop kill or mob kill. These bodies were dumped in Lake Mead. Were they here because of the mob? That means pimps too. Or for cops.
That's right. When that game concludes, get to win a wonderful, wonderful vacation stay at the Sphere.
Really, you're going to actually visit the Sphere?
No, absolutely not. Listen, I'm not into going to places that are ripoffs of national places that you could go see. I'm never going to New York, New York. I'm never going to the Luxor. I am never going to Paris or, I won't even go to MGM. Nope. MGM, they have a studio in LA. I can go there and see that. I go to Caesar's Palace.
And ridiculously insulting. And inside they have an Italy, which unfortunately in the Lower East Side of New York is an Italy. So technically it's accurate, which is just sad how bad New York has become that they even have one of those fucking places. Paris has a knockoff shitty French restaurant where one Christmas I ordered food and I got crepes. And all they did was take cream of mushroom soup from a Campbell's can and pour it over a pancake and call that French crepes. And the MGM Grand is just a lackluster casino with Hakkasan. And that's about all it's there for.
Sounds about right.
And for those of you who don't know, Hakkasans were 25-year-old guys who were Greek, try to get laid at the last minute at 2 in the morning. We're Greek and Persians, try to get laid at 2 in the morning on a Sunday night. The last
and the ham hock is on is what Kermit does to Piggy when he lays her down and eats her out. Hey, everybody. Oh. All right. Enjoy the rest of your week and happy wrestling, all you people.
We're wrestling.